Sportscast, August 10th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for this latest episode of college football, if they're going to cancel or not. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible app. You can download the Insta Bible app on the iOS App Store. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 are on the verge of canceling. What's up with the SEC? Will they continue no matter what happens? Today we got our special guest, our favorite from Tuscaloosa, Stephen M. Smith from TD Alabama. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Good to be here, Santiago. How you feeling?
I'm feeling a little tense. How about yourself?
I'm on edge myself. News has just occurred that the Big Ten has decided to cancel on the season. So this news has just come out here. Reports from the Big Ten that the commissioner of the conference and a lot of the athletic directors that have gone on into cancel on the season of the Pac-12, not much behind them. So you've got the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC fighting like crazy trying to hold on to the season.
Yes, this is a breaking news story. It happened yesterday when the Big Ten said they will not be practicing in pads, which a lot of the people on Twitter, especially reporters, were saying that could lead to the cancellation to the Big Ten, which officially happens within the last couple minutes that Coach M. Smith has broken. Stephen Smith, this is huge for college football, Big Ten and Pac-12 potentially being canceled, probably. How much of an impact will that be to college football?
It will be an impact just due to, you want to see the Big Ten play because of the powers in that conference, and you definitely also want to see the Pac-12 play. But most important than that, you are ripping an opportunity from young men that want to play college football. And for me, I understand the importance of the athletic directors, the chancellors, the presidents, even down to the coaches, but the consumers of college football, the people like you and myself, Santiago, we don't pay our hard-earned dime, or the fans out there, they don't pay their hard-earned dime to see the ADs or the chancellors or the presidents. They pay that hard-earned dime to see that quarterback throw a touchdown pass, to see that running back run through the tacklers, to see the wide receivers make big plays, to see guys on defense, slap that quarterback and put him on the ground. They pay that hard-earned finance to see these young athletes on the field. And it's the athletes that bring in the infrastructure, the jobs, the buildings, the possessions, the enrollment, everything that comes with the college football monopoly. It is done because of the players. And if you rip this from the players, this is un-American, because without the players, college football is not a business. It's not an entity. It's not a form of entertainment. And for a lot of people, it's about what we want, what's best for players. Well, if the players want to play and they feel like they are much more safer on the campuses or on their respective campuses versus going back home to environments where, let's be honest, a lot of these young men come from families that have very little to no health care. So if they feel like they feel safer on these campuses, why not hear these young men out?
How much of an impact will this be for the NFL draft? But could this be a possibility that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 could play like next year during the springtime?
It could be. But then if you look at if they choose to play in the spring, then this opens another can of worms, because just like if they were to play football in the spring – you've got basketball in the spring. You've got softball, baseball, gymnastics, other sports that go on in the spring. So would you be stretching the program way too thin? Would you be stretching the people that cover these sports, the athletic communication department, that are running around in all these different sports, would you be stretching them too thin? I mean, on top of that, this goes to the NFL, to where if you play in the spring, do you put the Senior Bowl back some? Do you put the NFL Combine back? Do you push that back so that all of the analytics people, the NFL draft experts, the scouts around the country, so they can get time to evaluate, get their numbers up, have these conversations about who do we draft, why do we draft them, what round do we draft them? So if you push the sport back in the spring, it opens up another can of worms, another can of stress to figure out, okay, what does the NFL do, you know, in this conundrum?
One of the news sources that came out this morning that had to vote to cancel the Big Ten was 12-2, and the schools that did not vote for it was Nebraska and Iowa. Something that, you know, we'll definitely look at. What have you heard about the SEC, Steve? Do you think they'll continue no matter what? What are your sources telling you?
Well, right now, what I've been told from a couple of parents of players in this Alabama football program is the SEC and the ACC, they want to play badly. And both conferences have joined together. And especially when you look at guys like Trevor Lawrence and Kylan Hill, Lawrence, the quarterback of Clemson, Kylan Hill, the running back for Mississippi State, you know, along with those two, there have been a number of different players at the University of Alabama that have spoken out. There have been coaches in the SEC that have been athletic directors. Arkansas's AD has put out a statement. Ross Bjork of Texas A&M, he has stepped up and has said something to the effect of, you know, we want to play along with the players and the coaches. So the ACC and the SEC have teamed up, and there's going to be some law enforcement involved with this. I've been told there's a lawyer that's known as the athlete defender. So the athlete defender is pushing out the agenda of what Trevor Lawrence wants, of what the players want, and that's to get on the field and play. So they're going to have to fight. They're going to have to continue the fight, because right now, with the exception of the two ADs I've spoken on, Arkansas's AD and Ross Bjork of Texas A&M, there's not just a whole bunch of other athletic directors that are speaking, and the players are infuriated by this. The parents of these athletes are infuriated by this. Coaches are infuriated by this because they want to get out there and be on the field. Once again, I go back to, it speaks to players feel safe. They feel comfortable on the field. They feel much better about being on the field and having their health and safety intact, no, versus being forced to go back home and not having a season. The two things that players want right now, they want the COVID waiver. And what the COVID waiver is, if the SEC and the ACC were to try to have a season and they get it underway and something happens to where you have to stop the season, you have to postpone the season, or you have to miss a number of different games at a time, at the very least, if you have the COVID waiver, the players will not lose a year of eligibility. So they want that COVID waiver intact. Another thing the players want is the transfer rule in place. So just in case, you know, conferences, teams, they cancel on the season, those respective players can transfer elsewhere and still have a chance to play college football during this unprecedented time that we're in. We already know for a fact that you're not going to see a whole bunch of fans, if any at all, in respect to stadiums because of the virus and fans trying to protect themselves as well. And people know this, but the ACC and the Southeastern Conference, both entities are right now fighting with all that lies within them to have a season. And a lawyer has even taken upon the responsibility to represent the players in both conferences.
Do you think the NCAA has the power to cancel college football completely?
It's tough, Santiago, because there's a lot of politicking going on right now. So there's a lot of politicking. And it goes back to, as much as, you know, the NCAA and Mark Emmert saying, you know, he's about the players, and the ADs, chancellors, people are saying they're about the players, but no one's hearing the players. Should not the players have the say on having this season, on what they want to do, you know, with their health and their safety, because without these athletes, there is no money being made. Without these athletes, the NCAA has nothing to really stand on in terms of making a profit out of all of this. So they have their own agenda that they're pushing, but at the end of the day, it's not for the players. It's un-American to look at a young man who comes from a background where all he wants is to play football. All he knows is, I come from an area where it's tough. I don't have mom at home, or I don't have dad at home, or God forbid, I have no parent, and I'm being raised in foster care, or I'm looking at grandpa and grandma who's old, and they're raising 10 to 15 children along with me, and I'm faced with two situations. I can either play football because football is my only way out, or I succumb to undesirable activities. And I can speak to that because, you know, me as a writer, as a reporter, I come from the second poorest county in the state of Alabama. And I grew up with athletes that didn't have mom or dad present in the home. I grew up with athletes that didn't even have grandma and grandparents present in the home. And they had two options. It was either I play sports or I succumb to selling drugs. I succumb to a life of crime. I succumb to undesirable activities because there's nothing else here for me. And for a lot of these athletes, they're in that mindset right now. And for the NCAA, it would be sickening, absolutely sickening, to not have these young men play this season when they have given their all to these respective universities. They have given their all to these colleges. They have given their all to these coaches, to these chancellors, to these presidents, to these ADs. They have given their all to the NCAA, and to see the organization turn a blind eye to these players would be a slap in the face. Now, I don't know, you know, ultimately what the organization will do, but if they are saying, if Mark Emmert on down is saying, we care about the players, you take a stand now. If you really care about the players, if you really care about these young men, you are not putting your body on the line. It's that quarterback putting his body out there. You are not putting your body out there. It's the running backs. It's the receivers. It's the offensive linemen. It's the defensive linemen. It's the secondary players. It's the line. It is these athletes that strap up and they put their body out there. You are sitting back there collecting the paycheck. That's what you're doing. And you're going to get your money. You're going to get yours. But for you to not stand with these young men who have done nothing but represent you, your entity, your product in a first-class way, that is despicable to me. I don't know what will be the overall end-all, be-all for the NCAA, but if it really cares about these young men, but all they want to do is represent this organization and just play the sport that they have always dreamed to play, now is their time to stand for these young men.
Something to definitely look at, of course, the emotion from Stephen Smith. I definitely feel you. I feel your sentiment. There's even teams, or there's been a Twitter trend going on where teams should join the SEC. Teams that, you know, that are willing to play, that are in like the Big Ten, and now that their seasons are canceled, do you think the SEC can, you know, just bring those teams in?
I can see it. And also, you look at the ACC and the Big 12, who have not, you know, joined the Big 10, you know, as of yet. I can see a couple of those conferences possibly bringing in some Big 10 teams, like an Ohio State, like a Penn State, and teams in the Big 10 that do want to play football. So I agree with that statement. You can see the SEC. You can see the ACC. You can see the Big 12 reach out and contact an Ohio State, contact a Penn State, contact other teams within that conference that say, this is not fair. We want to play. We want to have a season. So I would definitely keep my eyes and ears out there in the case of that happening, because it can very well potentially happen.
I think what the Big Ten should have done, instead of canceling, move the date back to September 26th, like the SEC and the ACC are doing. I think what the SEC was very smart what they did. They moved it back, of course, starting like in late August, early September. There was going to be some implications. But don't you think, you know, moving back the date would have been a smarter thing to do?
I think it would have been, because it would have given, you know, it would have given a lot of these teams the opportunity to see how do others adjust to it. But for example, you look at these other sports entities right now, Santiago, the NBA. People at one point in time thought that Adam Silver was out of his mind. Why are you going to put the NBA in the equator, in the nucleus, in the heat of the coronavirus, being the bubble in Orlando, Florida? But since he's done this, Adam Silver has looked like a genius. There have been no positive tests within the last month or so. The games have been fun. They've been entertaining. Players have been interactive. Adam Silver, beyond all the doubt, all the criticism, all the naysay, he took it upon himself. I'm gonna try this. If it fails, hey, at least we tried. We're gonna try this. And because he struck out there and he put the NBA kind of in uncharted waters, and it's worked, he has looked like a genius. I mean, you look at Major League Baseball. Yes, the MLB has had some flare-ups with the Miami Marlins, but they're still out there. You look at golf, is still out there. NASCAR has had some playing in there. You look at UFC, you know, MMA, a sport where you are paid top dollar to intentionally disfigure a person's entire face and body out there in that octagon, and they're still playing. You have other entities of athletics still playing. So, you know, for college football, the most cursed words in the English language are not even cuss words or swear words or profanities. It's the phrase, what if, because that means you allow something to grip you from accomplishing something that you really wanted to or aspire to do. So when you see other sporting events going out there and still trying, when you look at college football, at least give it an effort.
Something to definitely look at. And just like what Stephen Smith was saying, the MLB is going. Yes, they had some hiccups early on with the Marlins, but they've kept going. Major League Soccer is going to start off their season on Wednesday.
Absolutely.
And they've been saying, hey, if MLB is doing it, we can also do it. And keep in mind, guys, college football is one game per week. So if you have one flare going on, you could definitely, you know, You could, for sure just take care of like of that situation. If one player gets okay, just quarantine him. There is time with college football. They have the money for the testing. They have money for the quarantining, and they should put these players in like little pods. Hey, everyone's gonna stay here, live in here at this complex. And we'll play football every week. And look, we're not asking for fans. All we're asking is football.
Absolutely. I mean, I've even gone as far with the idea of, at the very least, even in terms of Alabama, the University of Alabama, at the least, you designate, you know, some areas on campus that would be bubble environment areas. For example, the Mal Moore Athletic Complex or the new Sports Science Center. You keep players in there. You continue to run the test on those guys. You quarantine those guys. You make sure they're getting their treatment. They're getting their weight training, their conditioning, their injury prevention stuff done. Or you have them, you know, conditioned at Bryant Hall, you know, on campus where the players can get their meals. They can take care of their academics also, because, I mean, let's be honest, with this going on, players may only be at class once, if not twice a week, but more so just once a week, which means the rest of their academic studies will be done online. So if that takes place, you know, why not have the players quarantined at, you know, Bryant Hall, to where they get their meals, but also they get their academics in line as well, have a couple of players, you know, have a couple of designated bubble environment areas for the players on campus.
And the bubble has worked for the NBA and the MLS, not very zero infections. Like, the only infections that happened were at the beginning when they were trying to get in. What the NBA did was that players started to get tested 2 weeks or a month before the bubble. So, and they only got like 8 or 10 players. They quarantined. They were healthy once they got into the bubble. You know, protocols can be taking place in college football at college campuses. They do have the complex. They do have the infrastructure to get this done. Maybe the NCAA should have some type of protocols. Hey, guys, this is, if you want college football to happen, you got to you have to abide by this.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
When do you think we'll hear something from the SEC or from Alabama? Do you think this week or not anytime soon?
It could be. It could be this week. It could be in the next couple of weeks. I know for a fact that Alabama, the SEC, is still on pace to have, its first fall practice on next week, which is August 17th, next Monday. So you could hear something in the next couple of days or by the end of this week or in the next couple of weeks. But right now, what I have been told is the SEC and the ACC are fighting. They want a season. They have reached out to law enforcement. They've reached out to a lawyer who's known as the athlete defender, and they're pushing out the agenda to the NCAA that these players want football and these players will have and must have, this season for the upcoming campaigns. So in the next couple of days here, I will be definitely keeping my eyes and ears out there to see, what happens with the SEC and everyone else that is fighting to have a season.
And we'll definitely be following this, and we'll be following Stephen N. Smith because he is on the ground, boots on the ground in Tuscaloosa. He knows the latest when it comes to Alabama and also the SEC, and we'll definitely break it to you on the sportscast as soon as possible. Stephen Smith, give us a quick recruiting update.
Quick recruiting update right now would be, Alabama is targeting, they're targeting three defensive backs for its 2021 class. Looking at the 5-star JaQuincy McKinstry out of Pinson Valley High School. Looking at Kamari Nassiter, the 4-star DB from American Christian Academy in Tuscaloosa. It's also looking at Terrion Arnold, the 4-star safety out of Tallahassee, Florida. Now, of those three, McKinstry is kind of keeping his cards close to the vest. Alabama, Auburn, and LSU are his top three schools right now. He could decide at any given moment. Alabama does look at him as a priority, but he's keeping his cards close to the vest. Kamari Nassiter, as well, kind of keeping his cards close to the vest. Alabama has come at him more so in the latter part of this recruitment. They do want him, but is he a primary guy? Remains to be seen. However, he is on the board. And, of course, Terrion Arnold out of Tallahassee, Florida, he's right there in Florida State's backyard. Alabama wants him as well. But Ohio State, as he emerged, is kind of the sleeper in his recruitment. So McKinstry, Arnold, and Lassiter, the three defensive backs that Alabama is targeting. At that tight end position, you're looking at Robbie Oost, who's one of the tight ends that Alabama is going after right now. It could get a quarterback in the 2021 class, but right now I think Bama will wait for the 2022 class to get the quarterback prospect, seeing how next year's recruiting cycle is littered with talent at the quarterback position.
This past weekend, one of the biggest news in recruiting was Hasan Marshall, which he decided to go to Florida. And he had Alabama as one of his favorites, and he is a 5-star. What have you heard about Jason? How close was he to get to Alabama?
Jalen Marshall was close. I mean, he was close, but once again, chose Florida as of right now, choosing to go with Dan Mullen and the Gators. And right now, anything could possibly still happen. He could probably flip and go elsewhere, could probably flip and go to Alabama. I know the crazy thing right now is, for a lot of these young athletes, there are so many schools that crown themselves or proclaim themselves DBU or defensive back university. when you look at the LSU Tigers, you know, LSU was one of those first programs to have that DBU title. Now, I'm not saying they're the lone DBU. Alabama has a claim to that title, absolutely. Ohio State has a claim to that title. You can even say that Florida, in every circumstance, has a right to that title. But for a lot of these young men that have grown up around college football, they have become used to hearing, you know, LSU, you know, claiming their right as DBU. And once again, there are so many programs that have a right to that on that statement. So for Jalen Marshall, I can understand why he chose Florida. As of right now, just seeing the number of quality defensive backs that come from that program. Vernon Hargrave sticks out. C.J. Henderson, Major Wright, Joe Hayden. There are a lot of prominent defensive backs that come from the Gators program. So Jalen Marshall fits well at the institution. But you know, once again, it could be a situation where maybe he flips. Maybe he goes elsewhere. Right now, Alabama was very high. It was very high in his recruitment, but he chose to, you know, go with the Gators for right now.
Definitely Alabama on the trail. Of course, just like with Stephen Smith, these players, they could commit now, but they could always flip last minute, right?
They can. They can. And we have seen this happen a multitude of times, but you know, right now, Santiago, you know as well as I do, the main thing right now is just getting a hold of having football played this season. It's bigger. I know people preach about the economic impact, and the economic impact is a part of it. But when you look at just what football means in terms of the quality that it teaches, we're in a world right now where it's being run by, you know, chaos, confusion, negativity, a lot of fear and division is going on right now. And when you look at college football, this is a sport that teaches unity. We need some unity. It teaches teamwork. It teaches togetherness. It teaches toughness. It teaches appreciation. More importantly, college football teaches a lot of love. And where we are in our nation right now, we need college football more than ever.
I agree. College football and, of course, any other sport out there to get our morale up, to have some a little bit of distraction, something to look forward to on the weekends. True. Stephen Smith, are you an NBA fan?
I am.
Okay, well, that's all I have for predictions tonight, for today. Who do you have between Toronto versus Milwaukee?
Oh, man. Giannis Antetokounmpo has done phenomenal. I mean, this is an MVP guy. I have enjoyed what Middleton has been able to bring, his shooting ability. Bledsoe's been fantastic on the outside as well. But with the Raptors, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, this group, you can never count Toronto out. I mean, even with losing Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers, even with losing DeMar DeRozan to the Spurs, you can never count out Toronto. So I'm going to go this. Give me the Raptors. I feel like Kyle Lowry and this group has too much fighting.
Toronto it is, and now we know Steven is an NBA fan. Poll question of the day, what is the best part of s'mores, chocolate, marshmallow, or the graham cracker?
Oh, golly. You know what? I'm going to take the unpopular opinion. Give me the graham crackers. Graham crackers, they have the tough job of keeping that chocolate and that marshmallow compacted in there. That graham cracker's got a tough job, man. Give me the graham crackers.
And you're right. It is the most unpopular. Graham cracker is losing at 16%. The chocolate is winning at 58%. And second place, marshmallow at 25%.
You know what? I'm a fan for the underdog. Let's go graham cracker.
Graham cracker, man. They hold things together. Steven's right. You got to hold things together. And hopefully college football will do the same. You can vote for that on our poll question on our Twitter account at the Sportscast1. You have about like 18 hours to vote. So definitely go ahead and check that off. What's your favorite part of s'mores? Because today is National S'mores Day. So it's quite interesting. Steven, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about the Big Ten?
Absolutely. Fans can reach me on Twitter at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. That's at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. And they can also reach me at Touchdown Alabama Mag, which is the magazine site, at Touchdown Alabama Mag. The site itself is touchdownalabama.com. TouchdownAlabama.com. We are breaking down Alabama football from every angle across the landscape. But right now, just putting out a multitude of stories about, you know, college football, the SEC, and how can, you know, these conferences hold on to have a season that these young men want to have.
And tell us about your last article you written recently.
Oh, the last article recently was just, you know, the ADs of the SEC have spoken out right now. Arkansas's AD, of course, Ross Bjork of Texas A&M has put out his statement. We've seen a couple of coaches, Sam Pittman of Arkansas, the tight ends coach of Florida, Tim Brewster, among other guys, that said, we want to play. We are standing by these young men. We are standing by these athletes and these players that have used the platform to speak out and just waiting on, you know, waiting on one of the higher powers of the University of Alabama to say something, whether it's Greg Byrne, who has been silent, whether it's in Alabama, whether it's the president of the university, whether it's a chancellor, somebody at the University of Alabama has to speak out to stand with these players, especially when you've got Najee Harris, Evan Neal, players like on the offensive line, Emil Ikior Jr., so many players on this roster have used social media to say, I want to play. We want to play. Why can't we as the players, you know, have a say in this? So just would like to see somebody in higher rank here at the University of Alabama, you know, make a statement and stand with these players.
And you can catch Stephen N. Smith and his show on YouTube at 6 p.m. Central Time Zone, right?
Absolutely. 6 p.m. Central Time every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So tonight, we go on 6 p.m. in my own words. It's going to be awesome shooting this. Doing this, you know, live from Tuscaloosa. We're streaming this on YouTube and on Facebook. So all the YouTube and Facebook people out there, check out Touchdown Alabama Magazine on YouTube as we go live tonight at 6 o'clock in, you know, my own words. You don't want to miss this.
And, of course, you could follow us at the Sportscast 1 on Twitter or at thesportscast.net. So we'll definitely be following Steven and us for the latest in college football, because SEC is what holds things together like the graham cracker. Steven Smith, always a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Santiago. Y'all be good over there.